Amen. The Lord is in this holy temple, and all the earth be silent before. Amen.
Amen.
And we stand for our call to worship. Psalm 40, right at the first stanza, reads as follows. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my bones. And he hath put up new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is a man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we say thank you this morning. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, transgressions, and our iniquities. Lord, we ask you to come into this church house this morning and let your will be done. Lord, we ask you to let everything be done decently and in order. Lord, we ask you to let us be on one accord and praise and worship your name. Lord, we ask you to watch over those that are on their way. Give them traveling grace and arriving mercy. Lord, we ask you to stand in the pastor this morning and let him preach your word, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Hide it behind the cross, Lord, and let your will be done. Lord, we come here this morning to praise and worship you. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit come in and anoint us. And Lord, we just ask you to just stand in us and let when people see us when we leave this place, they see that you live in us. Lord, let us be on one accord. Let us be about your business. Let us love you, praise you, and worship you, Lord. For every heart that is hurting and every mind that is troubled, Lord, stand in us and fix us, Lord, because you're the doctor of all doctors. And Lord, you are the one that guides and puts our every day started every morning. Thank you for the breath in our body. Thank you for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sin. Lord, we just say thank you because of who you are. And we ask you to expand our territory spiritually, mentally, financially, and physically. Lord, for those that are watching us on our Facebook Live, Lord, we ask you to bless them as well. And Lord, we ask you to strengthen them as well with the request of their minds and hearts, Lord. We just say thank you and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, we'll always pray this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. certainly thank God for our choir, thank God for our deacons for leading us in our devotional period. Certainly thank God for each and every one of you all on this cold day. But I'm sure that the Lord's in this place, and wherever there's the Lord, there is warmth. So we are thankful to God, each of you who are sharing with us on this day. We will have our scripture, and our scripture will be taken from 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 7, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and we'll read the 12th through the 18th verses of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. One of the books of Kings, the historical books of the Bible, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 12 through 18. So it should be on the screen as well. Second Chronicles chapter 7, begin with verse 12. We'll read responsibly. We'll find these words. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice.
If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
Now my eyes shall be opened, and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place.
For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually.
As it shall be, and if thou wilt walk as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments.
Let's read 18 together. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Amen, Lord, and a blessing to the reading of this word as found in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 12 through 18.
Never mind. So I can get up. you all. Thanks.
Did you see what happened?
And
get there too.
To be the same as last year.
No matter how good 2017 was in our lives, I believe that God wants us to always have a better year than the one that we had before. Wasn't Jesus himself who said, I came that you may have life. And he also said, I came that you may have life more abundantly. I want you to have better things. So as we start out this new year, there's nothing wrong with wanting 2018 to be more fruitful, more joyful, more happy than the year that we just left out of. However, the problem many of us run into as we prepare and as we plan for a better year, we somehow forget the most important thing or the most important person to include in our plans for a brand new year. You can plan all you want, but if you don't put God in your plans for this year, yes, you may have some bearing of fruit, but you're not going to be as fruitful as you would be if God was in your plan. And that's what I want to talk about, God's plan. And I said for a happy new year, but I should have said God's plan for your happy new year. God's already got a happy year. God's already, you can't diminish God's new year. You can't make God's new year any more happy or unhappy than it already is. God is a God who is complete God. So this is God's plan for your happy new year. God wants your plans to be compatible with his plan. And I believe that as we look at this one passage of scripture where God told Solomon, I heard your prayer. And he said, Solomon, I know what you're asking me to do, but I also want you to know some things, because sometimes it's going to seem like things are not going to go your way. Sometimes it looks like all the best laid plans of mice and men are somehow going astray. He had to remind Solomon that even if it looks like, he said, even if it seems like I'm going to devour your land, he said, even if it looks like I'm going to shut up heavens, that there be no land, even if I send disease and pestilence in your land, I want you to know you can still have a happy new year if you would just follow my plan. God's plan is a threefold plan. It's a simple plan. It's a plan that if we would just follow God's plan, you are guaranteed, no matter what goes on, no matter how up and down, and I need to tell you something, the same things that happened in 2017 are going to be happening in 2018. It seemed like almost on a weekly basis, and almost sometimes on a daily basis, trouble and disaster was on every hand. Almost every week of this past year, there was something that went wrong in the world. I need to tell you, if you put your trust in the world, you put in your trust in the wrong place, because the world is going to get worse, and the world is going to continue to spiral out of control, because the devil knows something that many of us don't want to recognize. He knows something that many of us don't want to recognize, and we ought to recognize this fact, whether you want to recognize it or not. The devil recognizes, and we ought to recognize that we're 1 year closer to dying. Am I right about it? I'm 1 day closer to laying in a grave somewhere. But the devil also knows that we're 1 day closer to Jesus coming back for his church. Am I right about it? No matter what yesterday looks like, today is a day closer to the Lord coming back. And the devil knows that there's a lot of work to do, and his job is to distract us from doing what the Lord has required us to do. That's why they got so much mess going on in churches today. The devil is trying his best because he knows better than we do. We're 1 day closer to dying, and we're 1 day closer to Jesus coming back. But now I'm here to tell you, no matter what the devil throws my way, I am determined not to follow my plan. But I'm determined that I'm going to try my best to follow God's plan. God's plan is simple. It's threefold. I'm going to hit all three of them, then I'm going to be done. The first part of God's plan is for us to be God's people. Be God's people. It says right there, if my people, which are called by my name. I want you to notice what that didn't say. It didn't say that you call yourself a child of God. But that's where a lot of us fall short. You can say it all you want, but talk is cheap. God said, if my people, which are called, not saved, but they are called by my name. I don't know about you, but I'm determined, no matter what's going on in the world, I'm going to be a better example of what God's people ought to be. Not what I say, but there's a way that I can be and I can have the word call me a child of God. Number one, you better know who your Savior is. You better know and believe beyond all shadow of doubt that you are God's child. And the first way you can do that is if you are saved. Jesus came, died for your sins. And if you accepted him as your personal Savior, you're on to step number one. But now, it takes more than just accepting him. Jesus challenged us to a higher life. The reason there's so much trouble, turmoil going on in God's church is God's people don't act like God's people. I know that's not popular to say, but we all fall short when it comes to acting like a child of God. All you have to do is look out. Everybody who says they're a child of God don't want to come to the house of God. I've never seen where God said it's okay for you to attend Bedside Baptist Church where you lay in the bed just because it's cold outside. I'd rather it be too cold than to wake up one day in a place that's too hot. So I'm going to do all I can to make it to the house of the Lord. I'm going to do everything I can to be like David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then you can say you're God's people, but you don't respect God's word. You don't respect God's word shows that you can't be God's child. You can't be God's people because you don't listen to his word. I think I heard Deacon Stewart say today, some folk talk about being God's children, but you won't come to Sunday school. You won't study God's word. Let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, you can disrespect the preacher. You can disrespect the teacher. But if they're preaching and teaching God's word, you better respect God's word. No matter what else going on in your life, God's word, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. That's why it don't bother me when folk get quiet. It don't bother me one bit, because as long as I know are preaching God's word, God said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting my word. He said, they're not rejecting you, it don't bother me. You're going to be in a happy new year, and you better learn to be God's people. He said, if my people who are called by my name, you know what name I'm talking about. I'm talking about Mary's baby. I'm talking about the bright and the morning star. I'm not talking about Givens. I'm not talking about Stewart. I'm not talking about Baker. I'm talking about the name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus the Christ is Lord. Make sure you are called by his name. Proverbs, folk call us everything but children of God because of the way we act. You can't say you're God's child and act like the world. Jesus himself said, if you can't serve two masters, reason the problem with a lot of churches is we try to run it like the mess out there. Who's got the biggest button? Biggest fuss this week. Well, I got a button. Well, my button's bigger than your button. That's the way we want to run the church. We can't run God's church. We can't be God's people when we try to run his church the way the world runs out there. Be God's people. Secondly, we need to follow God's plan. In order to be God's people, you got to follow his plan. And his plan says, I don't need stuck-up people. He said, I need people who are humble. His plan is, knock yourself down a peg or two. You ain't all that you think you are. You ain't as big as you think you are. Because if you think you're that big, wait until God lays you down. I would rather humble myself than have God knock me down a peg or two. I don't mind being at the bottom of the totem pole as long as God is at the top. God's plan is, hey, we're too stuck up. We're too high and mighty. Has it been? Just because he gave you a title doesn't mean he gave you a height. You got to work for what God wants you to be. He said you better humble yourself. And then if you want to follow God's plan, you better pray a little bit more. Oh, I wish we had a prayer church. I'm going to tell you something. I can tell when a church has been granted. It's easy to tell if church folk are praying. Because a praying church, no matter what's going on, is going to come in and say, the Lord gave, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. A praying church is going to come in and say, no matter what's going on, God is still in control. And the reason I know is I had a little talk with the Lord. God's plan is that you pray over. Don't pray to me, pray to him. Have a little talk with him. Talk to the Lord. Talking to each other isn't going to do anything but bounce back and forth. But when you talk to the Lord, things start happening. Praying, seeking God's face. Now that's a little bit more than just looking for it. When you seek something, that means you're going to dig high, you're going to look high, you're going to look low. If you lost a $100 bill, you're going to seek that $100 bill, and you're going to look everywhere you can. So no matter where I go, I want to seek God's face. I can be sitting in a UK ball game, but I ought to be looking for God's face somewhere. God said, if you want to have a happy new year, you better seek my face, and then you better turn from your wicked ways. I ain't going to say too much about that because God said it. I didn't say it. God said we need to turn from our wicked ways. I couldn't fuss with it. Because I did some mean things in 2017. But I admitted it and said I ain't going to do them no more. I turned from my wicked way. God's trying to tell some of y'all the same thing. And I ain't just talking about folk in this church. Church folk are mean. Church folk are evil. And church folk are wicked. They're just as wicked as folk out there. Keep in mind, this ain't my point, this God's point. God said, you need to humble yourself. You need to pray, seek my face, and turn, stop doing some of the mean, nasty, evil things that you do to each other. They don't need to bother us. We're too busy hurting each other. We're too busy hurting each other. We said, I don't need to bother them. They're trying to kill each other. My pastor, Reverend Stubblefield, used to say that the Christian army is the only army that have lost more soldiers from friendly fire. That means we shoot each other in the back. We're knocking each other down. We're the only army that has lost more people from friendly fire than from fire from the enemy. Be God's people. Follow God's plan. And then after that, you ought to receive God's promise. God said, if you do your part, I will do my part. And a lot of times God said, in spite of you, he's going to do his part anyway. But some things are conditional. This is a conditional promise. God said, if you want things to happen in your life, if, and this is a first class condition, if you are my people, then you ought to do some things. If you are my people who are called by my name, then
then you're going to humble yourself. You're going to pray a little bit more. You're going to seek my face, and you're going to turn from your wicked ways. And if you do your part, then I'm going to do my part. You will receive my promises. And the first promise I give you is I promise I'm going to hear what you heard have to say. He said, then I will hear from heaven. Isn't it good to know that we still serve a God who sits high, but he's able to look low? Isn't it good to know that when you have a little talk with Jesus, he will still hear your faintest cry and he'll answer by and by? I'm glad to know that when I do my part, I serve a God who hears every word that I have to say. He said, I promise I'm going to hear you. He said, I promise I'm going to forgive you. I'm glad he's a God who keeps his promises. He's not like us. You can be mad at me for years and not forgive me for years, but God says, when you do your part, I'm going to cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. He said, those who will just confess their sins, I'm still faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, I promise I'm going to hear you. I promise I'm going to forgive you. And then finally he said, I promise I'm going to heal your land. My, my, my. The reason we're in such a mess today, not only in the church, but outside of the church, is God is not healing this land. Obamacare didn't heal this land. This new tax break is not going to heal this land. We need to call on the only one who can fix this place. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the one who made it. He's the one who sustains it. He's the one who died for it. And early that Sunday morning, he got up so that this world can be saved. You want to have a happy new year. Start acting like you are a child of God. Stop talking about it and start acting like it. Then you do your part. You follow God's plan. Not my plan, not your plan. Follow God's plan. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek his face. Turn from our wicked way. And you'll have a happy new year because God will still hear your prayer. He'll still forgive your sin. And he will still heal your land. I'm done. I'm going to extend the invitation to discipleship. Very simple. Plain and simple message. Mm-hmm. On how God wants you to have a happy new year. As the choir sings, or as the soloist sings, oh, there's the duet. As the choir sings this hymn of invitation, if there's one, won't you please come?
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer. As we prepare to leave this place, as we prepare to go out into the world, let us just go out with a new sense of making this the best year that we've ever lived on this earth. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, God wants better for each and every one of us. We can't keep counting on ourselves to make it happen. God already wants to say, I want to still open up the windows of heaven and pull you out of this. God bless you is our prayer. Now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us all henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let every heart say together.
Seven of them to you, right? Oh,
Kevin. Yes, how you doing?
Hey,
go. What's it?